This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, boy.
Happy Tuesday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tucson to Topeka, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A., everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for dropping on by. Big show coming up for you this morning, numero uno. It's a Trash Tuesday, so who or what are you trashing? You can hit us up on the old Twitter machine, DA on CBS for said trashes, or you can dial us up and send us your trashes in a phone call form at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Also, coming up this morning on the show, Jimbo Fisher, did he ruin the Seminoles? A new report out suggests that there's assistant coaches that were under him that say absolutely. In the NBA, Jeannie Buss, delusional. The Nets trying to sign all of KD's friends. From baseball, the Mets continue to dissolve into a puddle of their own dysfunction. And we'll play a game this morning called Bada Binghamton. You know the voice of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies by now, one Jacob Wilkins. Of course, Jacob was the author of some of the greatest play-by-play calls in DA show history.
Now he is twerking his face.
Chicken Challenge 1, Chicken Challenge 2, Wienership 2. Wienership 3. And also the author of the worst moment in DA show history, the Las Vegas winter meetings this past winter. Well, he now finally has a job as an everyday play-by-play man for the AA Rumble Ponies in Binghamton, New York. Our friend Maggie Gray is a Binghamton native. Since Jacob has been on the airwaves in Binghamton, where we are a very popular show on their sports radio affiliate for CBS Sports Radio, we decided it's time for Jacob to truly understand where he lives, because he's likely just sitting in his hotel room every single day going over pitching staff ERAs and waiting for his next bus ride to Akron. So, in doing so, we want to make sure that Jacob has a true appreciation for where he's at, Binghamton, New York. Maggie will come in and she will host a trivia situation, a trivia game show revolving around her hometown and Jacob, and we will call it Bada Binghamton. That's coming up here about 2 hours from now in studio. Very exciting. Obviously, these are very newsworthy days and weeks and months of the sports calendar. And so we have to jam this show packed chock full of hard takes, aggressive opinions, insiders, and civic trivia about Binghamton, New York. That's all coming up this morning on the show. Let's begin, though, with the MVP voting last night of the NBA Awards. Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes the third youngest ever MVP in the NBA's last four decades, behind only two extremely young sensations who won it, Derrick Rose and LeBron James. Antetokounmpo is one of the best young players in the NBA, and at just 24 years old, Antetokounmpo has such a bright future ahead of him. I loved his thank you speech last night because I think it captured why he's so damn enjoyable to follow and to root for. Antetokounmpo had tears streaming down his face, thanking his parents for seeing something in him that he did not see in himself, saying that if your parents are great parents, they see the future. I didn't see the future. But in other words, they knew of his potential and they helped guide him there. I also love the quote from Giannis, who said, "My dad always said, strive for more, but don't be greedy. Go for it all, but don't be greedy. Appreciate what you have, but always there's a chance to become a better person or better at what you do and try to get to that next level of success." I thought Giannis just struck such a chord, and at 24 years old, how could you not say, yeah, this guy's an amazing focal point of the NBA's next generation of superstars. And as Giannis said, this is just the beginning. And I think for him, he's right. He's got another 8 to 10 years of dominance. And if the Bucks handle it correctly or wherever he plays, they should be competing for championships because he's that great. He's pushing himself to be that great. He's not happy with just the status quo. And that he is a transcendent type of talent and a guy that clearly has a humility and a grounding. What is also interesting is that in a season where James Harden had an absolutely bonkers year, where he single-handedly dragged the Rockets out of their doldrums early in the season by scoring 30-plus points for weeks on end, a guy that just had to do everything for that team as they were at a crossroads for the first 3 months of the season, essentially, that even in that, Giannis blew him out. Out of 101 first-place votes, Giannis got 78 of them. Harden only got 23. I think most people assumed that James Harden not only could win the MVP last night, but that the race would be close, that the vote would be close. But instead, Antetokounmpo had more than three times the first-place votes. Three times as many first-place votes as James Harden. He blew him out. He boat raced him. And I wonder what the reason for that was. Giannis had a great season, but did he deserve to absolutely rout James Harden? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
I think my dad, obviously, you know, my dad's not here with me, but... Two years ago, and I had the goal in my head that I'm going to be the best player in the league. Yeah, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help my team win, and I'm going to win the MVP. And every day that I step on the floor, I always think about my dad, and that motivates me, and it pushed me to, you know, play hard and move forward. Even though when my body's sore, even though when I don't feel like playing, I always going to show up, and I was going to do the right thing. I want to thank my amazing brothers. You know, I love you guys, man.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That audio courtesy of TNT. An emotional night, a tremendous speech? And my answer is yes, I have no problem with Giannis winning in such impressive fashion. And I'll tell you why. I thought Giannis, start to finish, was more impressive in all of the little things than James Harden was on a team that was probably better in record form and how it accomplished things than the sum of its parts, whereas the Rockets were actually worse. Now, I'm not sitting here going to tell you that Harden's the reason the Rockets weren't better. Harden's the reason they won 53 games. But coming into the year, Houston was seen, rightfully so, as the greatest threat in the Western Conference to Golden State. And the Rockets ended up as a 4 seed. Now, granted, it wasn't much difference between them and the Blazers or them and the Nuggets. That's a game or two one way or the other. But that start to the season, that was such a mess for the Rockets. Also, had unfortunate undertones with James Harden not having any ability to help out your team on the defensive end. James Harden not moving without the basketball. James Harden doing so much in such an efficient manner scoring-wise, but the little things that create winners. Harden doesn't do as much as Giannis. Giannis's energetic output, Giannis, his effort level, Giannis, his desire and desperation to push the Bucks to a championship always felt more than James Harden. And while the Bucks surrounded Giannis with a really good cast, you can't sit here and say that the Bucks were supposed to win 60 games last season, that the Bucks were supposed to have the best record of the NBA last season. They took a next step. Giannis took a next step. And I think they all took their cues from Antetokounmpo. I think they all saw him desire to do more. I think they all saw him pushing himself to do more. And that was on both the offensive and the defensive end. He affected the game on both sides, and Harden did not. And that's why, to me, for as great as the offensive prowess is for Harden, Giannis not only deserved the MVP, but he also deserved to win it in a rout. Now, unfortunately, this is a regular season award. This only has to do with your 82-game regular season. Because after what we saw in the postseason, Kawhi Leonard had every argument that he should have been the MVP this year. But it's the way that it's always been. This is a regular season award voted on after the regular season. It just so happens the award ceremony is after the postseason ends. But I had no problem with Giannis winning it and winning it big in a blowout last night. Your phone number on a Trash Tuesday is 855-212-4-CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Trash Tuesday, who are you trashing? What are you trashing? On Twitter, DA on CBS. I can relate to all of you out there that put your heart into a team that breaks it every damn day. I can relate to the fans out there that wake up and say we have no chance because we are dysfunction junction, because we are a mess, because our leadership is awful. I know it because I live it. Which is why, when it comes to the dynasties of sports, the Patriots, the Warriors, the Yankees, I say, blah, give me fresh blood. Give me fan bases that haven't tasted the sweet nectar of victory yet, because I am one of those fan bases. And coming up here next, I will describe to you what it is like personally to watch the New York Mets go up in flames yet again. And we'll jump into your trashes, because we will do Trash Tuesday for us here on the show staff-wide coming up in approximately 20 minutes from now. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Intellectual and informative discussion for our listeners on proper wing eating technique and different even wrist exercises to keep us healthy for years to come.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What the hell is going on in this show?
22 minutes past the hour on a Trash Tuesday. Let me know who you're trashing by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also, you can listen to us on Sirius XM Channel 206. And on your phone, use the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. And you can watch us at watchda.com. The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done, Jason Hayward. Cubs outfielder, big night last night. 2-for-4, double home run. The Cubs have an 8-3 win over the Bravos. Eighth inning dinger puts the game out of reach. The Cubs improve to 43-35. They are a full game up on the Brewers for first place of the National League Central, currently MLB's tightest division race. The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety, industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Granger.com. Cue them up. Brody Van Wagenen, first year general manager, New York Mets. Upon the widespread dysfunction inside this organization right now as they slide sub 500, their manager threatened a reporter. One of their starting pitchers also threatened said reporter. Their manager didn't apologize the next day despite being fined by the team. He then, on his second go-around, had to circle back to apologize for his actions. The pitcher never did. And now we learn that Van Wagenen, after acquiring Edwin Diaz, who pretty much stinks, and Robinson Cano, who definitely stinks, we learn that Van Wagenen might be managing from the luxury suite and telling Mickey Callaway what to do. Hey, Brody, how do you feel?
As you all know, we try to get information to the press box as quickly as possible about the status of a player's injury. That is normal protocol for us. We'll continue to do that, and you know, we'll make sure that players are, if the training staff, and the health of the player is such that the player can't continue, then that communication happens between the training staff and the coaches.
Ego is a dangerous thing. Ego is such a dangerous element of the human mind because it makes you believe that you can do things that you can't, or it makes you believe that you're qualified to do things that you're not, or it makes you believe that you don't need the help of anybody else, or it makes you believe that you know what's best, even if you don't. Brody Van Wagenen is full of ego. It's a bad combination because he's got ego and no experience. Van Wagenen got this job in the offseason because he was able to sell a vision to an ownership that wanted to not be an embarrassment. And that's a good thing. The Mets organization, the Wilpon family, Fred Wilpon's really old. Jeff Wilpon doesn't like being a punching bag in New York. And so they wanted to win. They felt like they were good enough to win, to be competitive. Hey, only 4 years ago, they were in the World Series. 3 years ago, they were in the playoffs. So Brody Van Wagenen walks in and tells them all the things that they want to hear. He's tall, dark, and handsome. He tells them that he can swing a deal to re-sign Jacob deGrom to an extension. He can swing a deal to bring in all-stars like Diaz and Cano. He can bring up the farm system players that are ready to win right now, like Peter Alonso, and he tells them, we'll matter again. We won't be a punchline. The problem was that Brody Van Wagenen was an agent. He was a player's agent. He was Jacob deGrom's agent. He had no experience doing this. And so he sold the can of goods. He sold the vision, because he's confident in when he speaks, and he had been, selling for the last 15 years. He's a salesman. He was selling his clients. That's what agents do. They are making connections and selling their clients. They don't know personnel. They don't know how to run an organization. They don't know the baseball ins and outs. They don't understand all the things that go into building the culture of a winner. They're in it for individuals. They're in it for individual gain. That's their job. Van Wagenen was always a bad idea because the substance didn't match the sizzle. And now we see all the things that Brody did wrong. All of them. Now, this is not to take the ownership off of the hook because the Mets were dysfunctional before Brody and they'll be dysfunctional after Brody. That's ownership. But if you entrust a general manager to change the culture and the culture gets worse, which it has, then it's on the GM. And it's a shame because the Mets organization chased the star. Oh, yeah, that sounds good, the twinkle. And Brody was convinced he was smarter than he was. And it's all getting thrown back into his face because he's not a true leader. He's a salesman. And this won't change because I don't think Brody is going to take one on the chin and say, you know what, my mistake. And this is what happens when you are ego-soaked, and this is what happens when you can't look in the mirror and admit what your flaws are. Before the season, Brody Van Wagenen said about the Mets, come get us. We're the favorite to the National League East. Hey, man, you've never held this job. Shut up. Put your head down, build the winner, and if it doesn't work, learn from your mistakes. But don't act like you have everything figured out already because you don't. You've never held a job in a baseball front office. But Brody couldn't help himself because he's going to talk the talk and be brash and be bold and to try to convince everybody that he knows things that he doesn't. And this is where ego always takes you down. Imagine the first day on your job, having never worked in that profession before, you said, I'm the best. People would laugh at you. And this was misinterpreted for confidence. Well, had Brody Van Wagenen worked for 15 years in a baseball front office, okay. Had he been assistant general manager and then been promoted, okay. Had he been on the job for 10 years? Okay. But you've never held the job and you walked in and you thought you had it all figured out and could do it better than anybody. It is the danger of ego. And Van Wagenen now looks like a complete and utter idiot, a failure. And that's how quickly it can blow up in your face. Look, Mickey Callaway should know better than to try to fight media. Vargas should be the same way. But at the end of the day, all of the culture problems that reside right now in that organization have gotten incredibly worse since Sandy Alderson left and Brody Van Wagenen took over. And that has a lot to do with a GM that thinks he's smarter than he is and has it all figured out. And he's now getting a comeuppance unlike anything he ever would have assumed or thought was possible. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And like I said, this is why I root against the Patriots and the Yankees and the Warriors and the dynasties, because I want to see other fan bases actually taste that success, because it's so sweet, it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful, it should not be monopolized by a few franchises, which is why when it's a team that finally breaks through like the Raptors, like the Cavs, teams that suddenly win a championship that came out of nowhere, fan bases like the Cubs that have been just beaten like a rented mule for a century, I'm happy because I feel the same way about my team. And sometimes there's no way out. There is no way out because your franchise just can't get out of its own way. And I feel for you. I sympathize because I live it. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, as we say every single day. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. On a Trash Tuesday, David's in Buffalo listening to 1270 for CBS Sports Radio. Dave, who are you trashing today?
Hey, DA, thanks for taking my call, man. I got to trash Kyrie Irving today. You know, this is two times this guy has worked his way out of a good situation. First with LeBron and the Cavs, and now with Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge and the Celtics. You know, if I was Brooklyn or any other team that was interested in him, it would be buyer beware to me, because this guy can score a lot, but he's not a leader. He's not the alpha dog that you want to lead your team to a championship. He's not on the level of LeBron, Kevin Durant, a Kawhi Leonard type player. He's that second guy. He needs another big-time player around him. So if the Nets think he's going to come in there and be the savior to take them to be a championship team, they're wrong about that. Thanks again, buddy, and have a nice day.
Thank you, David.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Nice job. That's how Trash Tuesday rolls. That's how you should do it. So hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. I think you're absolutely right. Everybody buyer beware on Kyrie Irving. If you believe Kyrie can be your number one guy, can be your leader. But I would also say not only do you have to beware of Kyrie Irving himself, you have to wonder if Kyrie understands after last season that he's not a leader. Did he go to Boston thinking he was, and then suddenly realize, oh, wait, I don't know what I don't know, what we're just talking about with Brody Van Wagenen? Because he did reach out to LeBron last year. And it seems like he did understand that maybe he was in the wrong with how things ended in Cleveland. Because it's okay if Kyrie's not the guy, if he realizes he's not the guy. Like I said, if you know what your flaws are, what your weaknesses are, you can build it and build a strength around it. Does Kyrie understand he's not LeBron, or does he still think he can be LeBron? Because if he understands he's a number two, then that's okay. Guys have roles. Guys can be great. Scottie Pippen had an entire career that went to the Hall of Fame knowing he wasn't a number one. The question is, does Kyrie understand that? When we come back, more of your Trash Tuesdays, and we'll get to our Trash Tuesdays. DA, CBS Sports Radio, on a Trash Tuesday.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You are a giant pile of trash.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't be a giant pile of trash. Just take out the trash on a Trash Tuesday, which is what we're doing right now. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll read through your trashes and hear your trashes throughout the morning. And remember that the DA show has video available on YouTube every single day. The best of the show is available on YouTube. Just search the DA show or CBS Sports Radio. You'll find us there after the show every single day. Who are you trashing? Daniel's next up. He's in Connecticut listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I'm trashing my stupid cats and dogs.
Your cats and dogs. Why?
Yes, because I was in the basement, and they were running around. This is level one, right? And they're, like, barking and stuff, and I'm, like, trying to focus on my video games, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it comes to the final boss level this morning. I'm, like, a tick away from exploding, right?
Okay.
And I got this perfect bagel sandwich in front of me. I'm like, I'm going to eat it. But then I was like, I'm going to be generous and remind my sister that there's food on the table. And I come back with my sandwich on the ground and the cat eating it. And I'm just like, no, I'm done with this cat. No, I can't stand it anymore.
The cat was eating your sandwich.
Yes, my sandwich. It was a perfect sandwich.
Your beautiful, uneaten sandwich. What kind of sandwich was it?
It was like an egg sausage amazingness.
Oh, that's amazing. Trash the cats.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
What?
Don't you know? The feeling of playing video games, Your sister's running around the house. You've got a beautiful, amazing breakfast sandwich, perhaps even breakfast amazingness. And then it gets knocked over and the cat's eating the damn sandwich. We've all been there, especially nearing boss level.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there.
Skewing young this morning, huh?
Remember when we said yesterday that now that Mraz is going to have a child, he announced yesterday on the show and on social media, of course, that Danielle is pregnant, little girl is due coming up here in December. Remember when we said, how long will it take for Mraz to not be able to do the homework with his daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, let's play the game, do you think Daniel is smarter than Mraz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he dialed that phone number and got on the air, got through our crack call screening software and operator, so yeah, he is.
Do you think that he kind of, I think Mraz was trying to give him some series of questions to just make sure that he wasn't too young to be on the air, and he just spun circles intellectually around Mraz and stumped him?
No, he probably talked like this, and Sean said, okay, come right through.
Probably because he's been learned things. He said he was trashing his cat. If your kid home from school, give him a shot.
Yeah, why isn't he at school today?
It's the end of school. I graduated 14 years ago today. School's out.
Oh, wow.
Just about. Today's the last day for my daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, I guess that's true. In the Northeast, we end things late. Mm-hmm. And most around the country, people have already been out of school for a while. Okay, very good. Let's get to our trashes.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
You know what? I'm trashing hospitals that charge you for parking. Last night, I had to spend a couple hours in the hospital. Everything's fine. Stuff going on, whatever, with my wife. But, you know, I go to leave, and they make you punch out a ticket. I don't realize why, and I go to leave, and they charge me $10 for being there for 3 hours.
Mm, got popped.
And it's not just I'm getting. Everybody who goes through there is getting charged. As if the medical bills for those in emergency aren't high enough. Now we got to pay for parking? Could you imagine somebody more serious leaving? You know, Cousin Susie died on the surgery table. Here's my $15. Thanks for parking my car. I mean, are you kidding me? Hospitals should be the one place on earth where we can avoid paying for parking. There's enough tragedy and horror going on there. You don't need the extra money through the garage. I'm sorry. Get it out.
Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
That's true. If you're really going through a bad situation in the hospital and then you get dinged for another $10 on the way out the door, it's really rubbing salt on the wound, literally.
Imagine having a family member, like, God forbid, on hospice or something, and you're in and out of there for 2 straight weeks. You know, your parking tickets start acting up like that, you're going to start rooting for death. It's amazing. You can't be doing that.
I don't know if you'd ever be rooting for death.
I mean, at $15 a pop over 2 weeks, there's only so much you can see them.
Grandma, you're costing me money.
I mean, jeez.
Speed this up.
Go already.
Nice. All right. Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I am trashing my stupid town for getting E. coli on the busiest weekend of the year for my town.
E. coli in your town?
E. coli in the water supply. Starts on a Friday, and of course, and this weekend was a big weekend. It was the Pride weekend was being celebrated down by us in Long Beach, and E. coli in the water supply. It was just unbelievable.
In your drinking water, in your bathroom, what? You're showering,
yes,
in it?
Had to get water bottles. It was a boil, water alert. It was awful.
How did you shower?
Oh, you could shower, but
you had to close your mouth.
Yeah, basically close your mouth. It was hideously bad.
How did this happen in your town?
We had no idea. Still no answers on how this happened.
Is this usually like a sanitation plant just dumps all their dirty toilet water into the supply?
Or old pipes that crack and cause E. coli.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Anyone want that one? No?
Sean, I know nothing about plumbing, but I don't know how many old pipes there are.
I don't know. Just fix it. All right? Enough.
They haven't given you a reason why your entire drinking supply was toxic?
All we know is that the boil water ban has been lifted.
Yes.
And that we're back in the swing of things.
Have you had other water supply problems before in your town?
No, but the town has had their share of problems with the government, so I'll just leave it at that. It's been well documented.
This is Atlantic Beach?
It's Long Beach.
Long Beach. Long Beach, Long Island, New York. You've had, your town has had run-ins with the government.
But just been shady things have been happening in the government.
I see.
Including the local government.
Pipes, E. coli.
E. coli! Imagine? I mean, Bogus, you wouldn't be laughing if your two kids were sucking down E. coli water.
I'm in Long Beach often. We could have been sucking down E. coli water, but I wouldn't blame the G-men for coming to the town and poisoning the supply.
Now, can you filter out E. coli? Like, does a British get the E. coli?
No, we had to throw those out.
No?
Not only that, the E. coli stores in the British. Got to get them out. You got to buy new filters.
New filters.
Do you think that corrupt, shady town's reimbursing you for your filters?
No, not at all.
And do you feel comfortable boiling the water than using it after that?
I would have boiled it if I had to, but I was getting ridiculous. I'm washing my hands with Poland Spring, and no one's really caring about fixing the water.
It's 2019, and you're washing your hands with Poland Spring.
It was hideous. It was awful. I hated it. It was a horrible weekend.
That's his fault. Get store branded.
And no one cared. They fixed it in like 36 hours. They fixed it. Like the boiling.
It should have been done in 24 hours, and it shouldn't have been a problem.
Shouldn't have happened at all.
Yeah.
What is a third world country you live in?
On the busiest weekend of the year down there.
You got E. coli? Where are you, Bangladesh?
Tell me about it.
At least you can eat pasta. The boiling the water is fine.
Andrew Bogus, who are you trashing?
I'm going to trash the sports. I don't even know where to begin. I'm trying to find, in the last 2 weeks, I have tried and failed to find my daughter a U.S. women's soccer something while she watches the World
Anything.
Cup.
Anything.
Jerseys are either they're too expensive, they don't have the right size, the color is weird, it's on back order, and then my son stumbles upon the NBA Finals, sees the Raptors, who are a combination of his favorite color, red, and his favorite non-human, a dinosaur, thinks they're the coolest thing ever. All I want to do is get the kid a Raptors t-shirt. There isn't a Raptors t-shirt in a size 5 for a kid. Sean can get his Adam Ottavino t-shirt jersey, no problem, to complete the set, but I can't make new fans because between websites and team and league sites, no one's got anything.
You can't go to fanatics.com, just get one?
I could, but I'm not going to spend $80 on the kid's youth replica jersey, and then the t-shirt I wanted, which was still ridiculously expensive, can't get that. You want blue, can't get blue. Want a size 5, can't get size 5.
You really need Mia Mraz's jersey hookup from China.
Thank you.
No question.
That's the way to do it. $25 will get you anything. Now, it's going to be slightly off.
Right.
The name could be misspelled.
Alex Morgan.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bupino.
But it's only going to cost you
My daughter won't know.
$22, and it'll arrive in 6 weeks.
Yep.
Okay,
that's fine.
So she will definitely have it for school.
Good.
Coming back in the fall.
The wrong country.
All right, trash them.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
I'm trashing restaurant vultures that are waiting for you to get up from your table or the bar seat and then immediately descend like you're a dead carcass as soon as you move. On Sunday, the Bourbon Bell and I went out for dinner, and it was a beautiful day up here. And so we were out near the water, and we're at an outdoor high top. And we had gone through the hostess stand, waited for something to be open, got to the table, sat down. There then comes this woman who, I mean, honestly looked like probably Bam Bam Bigelow in a wig. And she rolls up and she is just hawking everybody's seat to see who's going to get up. And again, you have to go to the hostess stand or ask the hostess or ask one of the servers if you can get on the list, but she is just waiting. I get up to go to the bathroom and she goes, hey, are you getting up? Are you leaving? I'm like, no, chill out, lady. We're still going to be here for a while. She does this to everybody else at the bar, everybody, to the point where we were basically getting up to leave. She could have had this seat. She took patio furniture and moved it just off of the dining area so that she could sit down at an ottoman with her mother as they were griping back and forth about not having a table ready. She then, this is unbelievable, there was a family of four, mother, father, daughter, brother, were sitting down. The father is there as the three other people from the family leave, and he is signing the check. She sits down in the seat next to him like she's part of the family just to vulture that table as he's signing the check. I'm like, can you let the guy sign the freaking check before you actually vulture the seat? This woman was unbelievable in aggression in trying to get him. So restaurant vultures, get him out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
JDM tweets, I just learned that Danielle is pregnant, DA, so please tell Mraz not to worry. We'll find the SOB who did this to her.
That would be me. It's a disgrace!
Christopher tweets, human and animal feces in the water system. That's how E. coli spreads. Mraz can explain it. He's a water system expert. Pipes, rivers, it's all the same.
He looks confused right now. Shockingly.
It's all connected.
All those same
the
things.
Amazon, the Allegheny, it's all connected.
You drink it, you eat it, you sail on it, you wash in it.
Where does the salt go?
Where does the salt go?
More trashings coming up, and also, are the Nets signing all of KD's friends?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.